بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أنفقتم من شيء فهو يخلفه وهو خير الرازقين. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, inshallah, the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will discuss a very interesting hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he has emphasized certain things, certain qualities that he has discussed very, very strongly. Hazrat Abu Kabsha Al-Anmari radiyallahu ta'ala an, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose real name was Amr bin Sa'id. He was known as Abu Kabsha. This sahabi says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, ثَلَاثٌ أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِنَّ وَأُحَدِّثُكُمْ حَدِيثًا فَحْفَظُوهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba that I take an oath on three things. The need for taking an oath was to emphasize to you and I, to emphasize to his ummah, the importance of these three things that he has taken an oath on. And then he says, I will mention to you a hadith. In other words, something very, very important. فَحْفَظُوهُ, remember it, memorize it, so that you can ponder, reflect over it, and practice upon it. What are the three things that Rasulullah has taken a qasam upon? The very first thing that he has taken an oath upon is that مَا نَقَصَ مَالُ عَبْدٍ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person gives out charity, when he gives charity, then his wealth will not decrease. Normally, to the naked eye, to the visible eye, what we'll see, when a man is taking out some money, so logically, and what the eye will say and show us, is that his wealth is decreasing. So for us to understand and believe in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where these type of things have been mentioned, that although you are taking out your wealth and you are giving charity, your wealth will not decrease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Usury, interest, will destroy a person's wealth. But sadaqah, a person is taking, it will grow his wealth, it will increase his wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wants us to have this certitude, this belief and this strong iman in an unseen thing. That my wealth should be decreasing because I'm taking out money. So logically, my wealth will decrease. But Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, no, your wealth will not decrease. It will increase. And the explanation to this increase, the commentators of this hadith explain that the barakah, the blessings of this person's wealth will increase. Even though he has taken out some of his savings and he has given to some genuine cause for deen, the remaining of his wealth will bring about such barakah in his life and in his wealth as though he has been given more money, as though he has been given surplus. And this is what all of us require and we all seek and aspire for, that I must have barakah. A man can have millions, but he sees no barakah because the wealth that he has, he is not enjoying that wealth in the true sense of the word. There's always some mishap, some calamity, some problem. His money is being spent on all those things instead of him enjoying himself. And on the contrary, we find a person who has little savings, but because he is giving this sadaqah, charity, we find he's got a content life. He's happy. He's seeing barakah. He's seeing prosperity. There's a smile on his face. There's no pareshani on him. He's not all the time, when you look at him, having a very sullen look on his face. But he's happy. He's smiling. He's content. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us to understand the fact that our wealth is not decreasing, he has taken a qasam upon it. Some scholars even explain that the actual wealth of the person will increase. Allah will give him something else. As Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. Whatever you take out, you spend in the path of Allah, Allah will replace you with something. My respected brothers and elders, we have in the past spoken about the virtues, the blessings of sadaqah, of charity. Just to mention a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can bring these qualities and these traits in our life. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma min yawmin yusbihu al-ibadu fihi illa malakani yanzila." Every single morning, when man rises, there are two angels that descend. Two angels come down. One of the angels, he makes a dua, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Oh Allah, the one who is spending in your path, he's giving charity. Oh Allah, you give him something in replace. Allah, he's giving in your path. So Allah, whatever has come out of his wealth, oh Allah, you replace him with something. And the other angel, he makes a dua, which in essence is a bad dua, it is a curse. Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talafa. Wallah, the one who is hoarding his wealth, he's amassing his wealth, he's not giving any person any charity, he's not spending his money in your path in any way. Wallah, destroy his wealth. Wallah, destroy his wealth. So this is the every single morning when man rises, these two angels make this dua. In a hadith Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibn Adam, innaka an tabdhula al-fadd khayrun lak, wa in tumsikahu sharrun lak, wa la tulamu ala kafafin, wabda' biman ta'ul, wal yadul ulya khayrun min al yadis sufla. O man, Allah says, O man, the extra money that you have, the savings that you have, over and above your needs, whatever debts you had, you paid it, whatever expenses you incur, besides all that, you have money that you save. If you spend from that money, you give it out in charity, that will be khair for you. It will be good for you. That is the best thing for you. And if you keep it, you mise with it, you hoard it, you hold it back, sharrun lak, it is going to be very evil. It is bad for you. It is not a good quality that the person has. This is bukhal, kanjusi as we say. He is mising. he should be spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah says, وَلَا تُنَامُ عَلَىٰ كَفَافٍ, as I explained, whatever you have for your own needs, and you're keeping money for your own needs, you've got a wife, you've got children, you've got your normal expenses, you've got your monthly expenses, you've got your rental, your water, your lights, whatever it is, and you're holding back some money for that, you're saving for that, for those expenses, there's no problem in that. وَلَا تُنَامُ, you will not be rebuked or reproached for the sufficient amount of wealth that you are keeping behind to meet your expenses. There's no problem in that. Then Rasulullah says, وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. When we give charity, and when you spend, then start at your own home first. Those people who are under you, your own family, your wife, your children, your relatives, they are people who are close to you, your relatives, and they are in need. So start giving them first, before you give somebody else. As we say, charity begins at home. How many a person, he gives in very good causes, mashallah, mubarak, but people who are under him, his subordinates, people who are working for him, his own family, his own children, he's being miserly with them. Now this is not the teaching of Sharia. A person is not expected to overly spend on his family, especially when he doesn't have the means. Whatever he has, but first you spend on your own family. That dinar a person spends, that money, one coin a person spends on his own family is better than the charity he will give to anybody else. So, وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. Then Rasul says, the upper hand is better than the bottom hand. In other words, the one that is giving is better than the one that is receiving. In this particular part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is emphasizing on the point that one should be generous, and a person who is taking money should not make it a habit. He should look and search for halal earnings in which he can provide for himself and for his family. He should not make it a profession that now he just begs from people. He's got no real excuse to beg. That is not regarded as being the good hand, the upper hand. Nonetheless, there are various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that explain to us, encourage us to give out charity. In one hadith, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a woman, a wife at home, when she gives some food to a person, a poor person, some food from her home, غَيْرَ مُفْسِدَ, of course she's not being lavish in her spending to the poor also. She doesn't cook a pot with the meal that she's preparing for supper, and then the beggar comes and she gives the entire pot, and just now the husband is going to come and the children are going to come home and there's no food at all, and now they have to look for somewhere else to get food. No. But she gives some food from her house to a poor person, she will be rewarded for it. Then the hadith says even her husband gets a reward for it. He's the one who provided the food or the money to purchase the food. The wife had this good quality of generosity. She gave out. She gets وَكَانَ لَهَا أَجْرٌ. She gets reward. And even the husband gets reward. The hadith even says, in those rooms, in those places where they have a treasurer, so as to say, or somebody who is in charge of the finance of the home, this person also gets a reward. And look at the sadaqah, the blessings of sadaqah. And that is why we find in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, and the tabi'een and salafi saliheen, they had this quality of generosity. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the Azwaj Mutahharat, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after your demise, which one of us will meet you first? In other words, who will pass away first? Who will meet you first in the hereafter? Nabi Sallam said, Atwalu kunna yadan, the one that has the longest hand. So they actually went and measured each other's hands to see who got a longer hand. But not long after that, they find that Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passed on. Then they realized, and believe me, every single wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you read the biography, the generosity knew no bounds. They would spend on the poor and the needy. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, there were occasions in her life when the only thing she had in her home was a date which she required to open her fast, even that she gave to a beggar. And now when you saw Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the one who passed away first, they realized that undoubtedly from all of us, she was the most generous. Can you imagine her generosity then? And when they would give charity, then they would give with such sincerity. There was no show about it. No ostentation. There's a person by the name of Ash'ab, rahmatullahi alayh. He says, I was walking in on Ali, and suddenly a person comes to me. Are you Ash'ab? Yes. How many children do you have? He says, I've got so many sons and daughters. Okay. I have been instructed that I must make sure that I give you sufficient amount for your expenses every single month. He said, but who are you? He said, no, somebody has sent me and this is what he has instructed me and I will give you every month your allowance to make for your maintenance. Ash'ab Rahmatullah was a great buzurg. He said, but tell me who it is. Obviously he's doing something good to me. So I go to thank him for his kindness, for his generosity. He says, this person has warned me that I should not take his name. Now look at the sincerity. He says, years went by, and suddenly there was a funeral of a person by the name of Khalid bin Abdullah bin Umar bin Uthman. So he says, I attended the janazah and I see this person who would come every month and give me this allowance. And I see him crying. And then he comes up to me, he says, Ash'ab, this is the person who used to see to your needs every single month. A similar incident of Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, the son of Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, Ja'far was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His son Abdullah bin Ja'far, if you open Fazali Sadaqat of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, you see amazing stories. Genuine incidents in their lives. How he would feed the people and how he would see to their needs to such an extent that people did not know the source of whatever they were receiving, where it came from. Who was the one behind this generosity? Until he passed on. The day he passed away, people attended his janazah the very next day. And after a few days, when no money was coming to them, he realized that this was the man who was seeing to our needs. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi, a great muhaddith, mujahid, faqih, one of the giants of Islam. A person comes to him, he has some debts to pay, 700 dinars. A dinar is a gold coin. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi, writes a note, says, take this note, this letter, to a certain person, and he will see to you. That was his treasurer, his khadim, working for him, his deputy. So this person takes a letter, he goes to this person who was working for Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh. And Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh's deputy looks at the letter. He asks him, what's the problem? He says, no, I have got debts, 700 dinars I owe some person. I'm battling to pay it. So somebody told me, go to Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh, he will sort something out for you. So this is the letter. This person did not know what Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh written in the letter. He had written in the letter, give the bearer of the letter 7,000 dinars. So this person said, okay, hold on. I think there's an error here. You just sit here. Let me send a letter to Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi. Just wait for a few moments. He sends a letter to Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi. He says, that I think you have made a mistake here. This person only required 700 and you had written for him 7,000 dinars. My respected brothers and elders, look at the generosity of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi. The sincerity. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi writes back, he says, give him now 14,000 dinars. This person, when he sees the letter, he says, oh Abdullah, if you are going to continue in this way, you'll have to sell your whole property. Abdullah bin Mubarak then replies to him. He says, are you my deputy? Or am I your deputy? If I am your deputy, then let me come over there and you can come sit in my place. Hatim Tai, those who have read the history of the Arabs, there's a particular person by the name of Hatim Tai who in the time, this is pre-Islam, pre-Islamic era, he passed away 7 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Hatim Tai was known for his generosity. In the history of the Arabs, they had never seen any person like Hatim Tai, his generosity. In fact, there's a proverbial example that they give when they talk about generosity and they talk about sakhawat and jood, then they use this proverb that judun kajudi Hatim Tai, or sakhawat, generosity, like the generosity of Hatim Tai. Hatim Tai, on one occasion, he goes somewhere and he's a visitor. There's an orphan who entertains him. So he prepares, or he slaughters an animal, a sheep, and he cooks up the brains of the sheep and he presents it to him and he begins to enjoy it. He says, how delicious it is. So this youngster says, okay, just wait for a moment. He goes and he comes back with more food. What he went and he went out, he slaughtered more of the goats he had, or sheep, he had approximately 10. He slaughtered all of them and cooked this meat and he presented it to Hatim Tai. And Hatim Tai did not know what had transpired until when he emerged from this house and he had seen so much of blood all around and he saw the carcasses, he realized the generosity of this person. See, people had asked Hatim Tai, he knew he was generous. So people asked him, is there any person more generous than yourself? He says, yes, one person, an orphan. So they were intrigued by this story that Hatim Tai gave them. So he said, they asked Hatim that what did you give him in lieu of that? He said, I gave him so many 100 camels and so many 100 goats in lieu of what he had given me. So he says, then you are more generous than him. How can he be more generous than you? So Hatim Tai replies, he says, see, this youngster gave me whatever he possessed. And I gave back to him the little from the great treasures that I possess. I possess much more. So my giving him 100 camels was nothing. I didn't feel the pinch in my heart. My respected brothers and elders, we can go on citing examples of generosity. Rasulullah has mentioned, badiru bisadaqah. Hasten in giving charity. Why? If there's any bala coming, any calamity, any disaster, any problem, any difficulty, by you giving sadaqah, it will ward off that bala. It will push away that calamity. That calamity will not afflict you just by you giving sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, even if you give a piece of date in charity. A small, tiny piece of date, not even the whole date, part of a date, half a date, or a part of the date. You give that, that can actually become a means of your salvation in the year after. Of course, one has to do it with sincerity. Rasulullah says, As-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-rabb. وَتَدْفَعُ مِيْتَةَ السُّوءِ. Sadaqah actually extinguishes the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah. We do something wrong, Allah becomes angry with us. But by giving sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger becomes cool. It saves you from an evil death. وَتُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَةِ. It extinguishes, it washes out your sins. Rasulullah explained that when a person gives halal money as charity, very important. Haram is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Halal money that a person gives in charity for any good cause which Shariat has authorized, Allah readily accepts that charity from the person. And Allah increases that charity that the person has given. And the hadith says, even though it may be one date, now one date, Allah increases his one date until it becomes the size of a mountain. As though to say this person has given a mountain in charity. And also explain like how a person who breeds horses, and there's a foal, a baby horse, and he nurtures his horse this little baby horse until it grows into a good strong horse. Like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this tiny little kadur into a mountain, and the person in the day of Qiyamah will see the benefits and rewards and blessings of the sadaqah, because it is mentioned in the day of Qiyamah, every kullum ri'in, every person will be under the shade of the sadaqah he gave in the world. Hatta yufsala bainahum, until Allah ta'ala gives judgment or decides regarding every single person, whether he's going to go into paradise or whether he's going to Jahannam, Allah save us. So until then, a person will be under the shade of his charity. There was a tyrant ruler in Egypt once upon a time, and there was a particular person that he intended to kill. And each time he makes this intention, he sees a dream. What does he see in the dream? He sees that he's advancing towards this person to execute him, but suddenly a loaf of bread intervenes. He sees this dream for a few nights. Then he summons this person and he calls him. He says, listen here, that I have every intention to kill you, but this is what I'm seeing in my dream. So what is it all about? What's this loaf of bread about? So he says, when I was a little kid, my mother used to put a loaf of bread every single night on my bedside. In the morning she would take it and give it out as sadaqah. For years, until I grew up, and I got married, and I kept on this practice of giving this sadaqah, a loaf of bread, every night I'd keep next to me. In the morning, after Fajr, I would give it to a poor person. So this tyrant ruler then realized that on account of this sadaqah, this loaf of bread that this person genuinely gave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save him, and therefore he tells him that nobody will harm you. So this hadith we've been discussing, only mentioned the first part of the hadith, where Rasulullah says that when a person gives sadaqah, he gives out sadaqah, his wealth will not decrease. It will in fact increase. The barakah will increase. And the second part of the hadith, وَمَا ظُلِمَ عَبْدٌ مَظْلِمَةٌ صَبَرَ عَلِيهَا إِلَّا زَادَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا عِزًّا. A person who is oppressed, he's oppressed. Somebody usurps his property or some belonging of his. Somebody has not given him or her the rights. This person makes sabr upon that. We have spoken about oppression previously and the harms of oppression, how Allah Ta'ala abhors it, how terrible the sin of oppression is, and the baddua of the oppressed person, how it comes onto the oppressor. But this particular person, the hadith is talking about the oppressed person. If he makes sabr, he endures all the pain and misery and difficulty, and he makes sabr, Allah increases this person in honor in the sight of Allah. This person is regarded to be one who is respected in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama have also mentioned that even in the world, Allah will show him the day when he will gain respect. And the same person who oppressed him, walau kana badihin, the commentators have said that not necessarily immediately the oppressor will be taken to task. Sometime years later, the same oppressor becomes under this person. And then he is seeking the mercy of the oppressed person. And the third part, remember I mentioned Rasul took an oath on these three things. The first one he mentioned about charity. And the second one was a person who is oppressed and he makes sabr, then he gets honor and respect in the sight of Allah. And the third part, that a person does not open the doors of begging, except that Allah will open the doors of poverty to him if this person is not begging because of some genuine reason and excuse. He's not in need. He just wants surplus money. He wants a bigger bank balance. He pretends as though he is in need. And he goes to every single person and he collects monies from them. So in reality, he is not being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then opens the door of poverty. He actually becomes poor then. This requires much detailed explanation, inshallah, some other occasion. And then Rasulullah says, I've got a hadith for you, which you must memorize. And the synopsis and the gist of that hadith, where Rasulullah said that there are four types of people in this dunya. One is a person whom Allah has given him knowledge and wealth, and he spends that knowledge and wealth according to the commands of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. He joins family ties, and he teaches people, and he educates them, he guides them, and he uses his halal money to see to the needs of the needy poor, and he fulfills the rights of Allah in the wealth and the knowledge he has. He doesn't do things for riya, ostentation, show. He spends his knowledge and the wealth he has in accordance to the sharia. Rasulullah says, he is in the best and highest of positions. Then we have a second person whom Allah has given him knowledge, but Allah hasn't given him wealth. He doesn't have wealth, but he is genuine, he is sincere. And he says, if only I had wealth like that particular person who is doing such good works and charitable works and so much good works for deen. If I had that type of wealth, I too would have spent. And because he is genuine, Rasulullah says, فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَى. Just like the first person's reward, he also gets the reward. And then Rasulullah says, there is a third person whom Allah does not give knowledge to. But Allah gives him abundant wealth. But he does not spend this wealth in accordance to the pleasure of Allah. يَخْبِتُ فِي مَالِهِ. If he has to spend some money, it is out of show, riya, ostentation. But he uses his wealth in haram things. He builds a casino, for example. He builds something which is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He uses his wealth in haram pleasures, entertainment, in haram things. He is regarded as akhbathul manazil, the worst in rank, the worst of people. And then Rasulullah says, the fourth person is that person whom Allah does not give knowledge and hasn't given him wealth also. But this person is so foolish that he actually expresses the genuine desire that if I had wealth like this person who was so rich and spending all his haram ways, I too would have done so. Rasulullah says, فَوِزْرُهُ مَا سَوَى. Their sin is equal. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us understanding of whatever we have discussed. These three important things to bring in our life and understand the four types of people. At least, if we don't have knowledge, then we should try and spend our wealth in the correct way or gain some knowledge so that we can have the knowledge and we can spend the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.